when supply of USD spiked, CPI went up, and we peaked last year at roughly 9%. But CPI is not really true inflation. Inflation is the rising cost of all goods in a market. The CPI only includes frequent purchases of everyday goods.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you all things personal finance, because after all, we know it's not what you make, but what you keep. What we can keep, then we can create the lives of our dreams, and we can all make this world a better place. So today, I want to talk about a topic that affects what you keep. At the end of the day, this affects the money you keep. And that's what recently happened this week. The Fed did announce they were going to raise rates again. There was some uncertainty. People thought maybe they would lay off because of what's going on with Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, Credit Suisse, and just the whole banking industry in general. And I'll touch a little bit on that. That was the main episode or main focus of last week's episode. But today I want to focus on, they raised the rates again, another 25 basis points. So pre this whole banking issue, people thought it was going to be 50 basis points. That's kind of where it was headed because of the previous month's inflation numbers came out higher than expected. So everyone thought, oh, they're going to do another 50 basis point hike. And then the whole banking fiasco happened. And then some people thought maybe they're not going to do anything. As I told you, I thought they were at least going to do something. So they did, 25 basis points. So I want to get into, like, what does that actually mean for you? Because I've talked about this several times. Obviously, Fed raising the Fed funds rate. What does it actually mean for us on Main Street, the consumer? What does that actually mean? And I'm going to break this down. You know, I'm going to hit this from the absolute basics. So for those of my listeners that are really technical, this is going to be high-level stuff, so this might not be the episode for you. But for those that just want to get the basics, let's get into it. So supply and demand, right? We all understand that, right? As demand for something goes up or supply goes down, prices rise. And on the inverse, as demand goes down and supply goes up, prices drop. Now, the Federal Reserve is a central bank of the United States, and central banks provide financial and banking services for their country's government. And interest is the cost to borrow money. So the federal funds rate, or the FFR, is the rate at which banks lend to each other overnight. And this is the rate all other interest rates are based on. More risky loans, such as credit cards, are charged more interest. So when the federal funds rate rose rapidly, and the target is now, you know, at a range of 4.75% to 5%, up from 0.25% to 0.5% a little more than a year ago. So that's a huge increase, fastest increase we've seen in decades since the 80s. So when the federal funds rate increases, the demand of loans decrease, right? Because cost more, right, to borrow. Rapidly increasing the federal funds rate generally leads to recessions, right? So an economic growth suddenly stops, leads to a recession. The US dollar is the world's reserve currency. The Federal Reserve issues US dollars. Countries around the world transact in and borrow US dollars. Since the USD is the world's reserve, oil producing countries sell oil for USD. It's the easiest currency to exchange for other goods. So you can see there's a lot of power with the USD. And so producing the world's reserve currency gives the U.S. certain privileges. Bonds are sold by countries and businesses to borrow money. Bond issuers pay interest to the lenders. So treasuries are bonds sold by the U.S. government to borrow money. Simple as that. They are used to store value at quote-unquote risk-free, closest thing to it, because the U.S. has great credit. Countries and individuals lend money to the U.S. to earn interest on their savings. Why? Because the U.S. has never defaulted on its agreements to pay back lenders, mostly because, you know, of its ability to print more money. The U.S. has never defaulted on an agreement to pay back lenders, like I said, and that's mostly because of their ability to print money. So the U.S. has been going further and further over time into debt. Just makes sense, right? The supply of U.S. treasuries is constantly increasing. The supply of USD is also increasing because the USD is used to pay interest on treasuries. An increase in the supply of USD means goods valued in USD become more expensive. Businesses and countries invest in treasuries. Businesses buy US treasuries to earn interest on cash savings. They may sell treasuries when they need cash to pay for expenses, right? So when the 2020 lockdowns happened, that led to businesses and countries to sell treasuries and needed to pay for expenses because they had no revenues coming in. Demand for treasuries were lower than supply, meaning market prices would decrease significantly. So the Federal Reserve purchased excess supply by issuing more USD. The supply of USD increased by 42% since 2020. I've talked about this before. That's a crazy increase. 42% since 2020. More USD means CPI. So consumer price index goes up. And what is consumer price index? On the most basic definition, it measures the average change in prices of consumer goods over a certain period of time. It is the inflation number that we see essentially everywhere, right? So when supply of USD spiked, CPI went up and we peaked last year at roughly 9%. But CPI is not really true inflation. Inflation is the rise in cost of all goods in a market. The CPI only includes frequent purchases of everyday goods, right? Such as food and gasoline and also durable goods such as cars, furniture, and appliances. Asset prices are not included. And we all know asset prices went through the roof over the last 3 years. The Fed's goal right now is to lower CPI. We all know that. That's again why they raised rates, the Fed funds rate again, even during this whole banking situation. So the Federal Reserve lowers CPI by increasing rates to borrow. So it results in lower demand for goods. This forces anyone that can afford the interest on their debts that can't afford the interest on their debts to default. This obviously creates a ripple effect, right? And can be seen in global financial markets. So it's not just here at home, it's global. And there will be a lot of pain, right? So higher interest rates means less capital to put towards production. We've already seen employees be laid off from their jobs at all kinds of business, all kinds of industries. Hey, you know, it's not just siloed to one industry. We've seen it in manufacturing, tech, all across the board. So on top of that, overly leveraged companies that can't pay interest on their debts may go bankrupt. CPI is up, but asset prices are down. And that's just a general statement, right? There can be an argument, but generally the asset prices are down. Anyone without an emergency fund may be forced to sell assets to pay bills, just like before, you know, selling treasuries to pay their expenses. So risky assets are often sold first. So think like crypto, growth stocks, overleveraged real estate, and then less risky assets, primary residences, value stocks, they are often last to get impacted. However, rent will continue to go up to get more expensive, right? And go up because that's just how it is, because there's going to be more demand, less demand for buying. We've seen this same song and dance mostly because of higher interest rates and values haven't retracted enough. They haven't proportionally, right? Interest rates have gone so far up and values have not retracted at that same growth. So the cost to borrow to buy a home is vastly larger and more expensive. So that's going to result in more people renting. And so in the people that do own, increases in rates means that adjustable rate mortgages become more expensive. For the most part, luckily, based on the data, most people have fixed loans, but not all. And especially on the commercial side, investment side, there's a lot of floating and adjustable rate. Especially you might have had fixed for a period and then, you know, say 5-year term, and then it becomes adjustable. Well, if you come into that end of that 5-year term now, it gets more expensive. And so when these mortgage rates goes up, the owners of the properties need more money to cover the payments. And in some cases, the lender requires them to even bring more reserves. And that can force the owner, the operator to sell. In some cases, even go into foreclosure. So in the short term, cash is king right now. There will be deals to be had in the future, but everyone should be building an emergency fund if you don't have one already. And obviously, as I always say, work towards increasing your income. Because as Fed funds rate goes up, just everything becomes more costly. Companies that usually borrow money for production, for manufacturing, for shipping, they're just not going to be able to borrow at that same frequency because it's just more expensive. People get laid off. Huge ripple effect. Companies go out of business. People lose assets. People have to sell assets just to pay expenses. So that's generally what happens in a rising rate environment. And I could go into more detail, but I just wanted to give a simple background, how it works and how it can affect you. At the end of the day, we've seen it. It goes to the store, right? It's our pocketbook. And at the end of the day, hopefully you don't have to sell any assets. Hopefully you have adequate funds, adequate emergency fund to cover any expenses. Hopefully anything you own with debt is fixed rate. Hopefully you're not over levered. But if you are, now is the time to be diligent in any expense you can. Make sure you do have that emergency fund and increase income in any ways possible. So, you know, if you do have adjustable rate, you know, the term's coming to end, it's about to adjust, or it's floating rate. You've obviously already been feeling it if it's been floating rate, but you just need to position yourself to make it through this. And then in terms of this whole banking situation, because we heard the Fed pre their meeting, they said that they would backstop any deposits in any further situations. And so far they have done that. But after the Fed's meeting, both Yellen and Powell said that they would take it more on a case by case basis and wouldn't necessarily backstop every single deposit. That kind of spooked markets a little bit, a little uncertainty. In regards to that, I want to share a story that I came across. It reminds me of these banks recently and all about bank runs, people making runs on banks when everyone wants to pull out their deposits because there's fear in the market. So it's about 1800 story. It's happened in the 1800s. It's about the richest banker in California. He famously stopped runs on his bank multiple times. Isaiah Hellman was his name. He was a Jewish immigrant who started a small bank called Farmers and Merchants. One day, while he was on vacation in Europe, his bank president closed the bank to customers, caused a panic. On learning this, he rushed home. He showed up surrounded by guards and a chariot full of gold bars. He walked through the middle of the nervous crowd waiting to make withdrawals. With people watching, he slowly stacked gold bars on the counter of the bank. People now knew their money was safe, and the crowd calmed down. This scene was repeated 3 times throughout his career, and each time a crisis started, he repeated the same action. He showed up in the bank with a cart full of gold bars and stopped the panic. Obviously, what can we learn from this? Given how big banks have gotten, the government is the only one that can actually step in and be the modern day Hellman, right? Modern day Isaiah Hellman. America is an amazing country because we trust our institutions. In many countries, that just isn't the case, right? The government's job is to do whatever it takes for our people to maintain trust in our institutions. This trust is what makes our world go round, allows us to feel safe at home and feel confident in our kids' future and engage in daily practices like using credit cards, getting loans for homes and cars. If you care about trust in society, we should all come together and root for a solution here that protects our fellow citizens' money. I agree with that, right? I think they came out to say that. I don't really know the real reasons, but to me, it seems they came out to say that they might not back every depositor because they just didn't want people to rely on that and maybe banks to make stupid decisions or people to make stupid decisions just know, oh, the government's got my back. But at the end of the day, I think if there is any more bank runs, the government will be there to back its citizens. That's what it's for. And I think it needs to do it to protect capitalism, to show that this is the greatest country and we are. Capitalism is the way to build a strong future and for everyone to be able to achieve their dreams. So I just wanted to share that story. Hope everyone got some value out of this. I hope everyone has an amazing weekend. And as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams and make this world a better place. All right, everybody. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.